You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? How you guys doing? It's Tuesday.
So, we are doing multiple things today. First thing, and most exciting, our preview card for Ixalan is coming out in this episode. First, we have a few things to talk about, but get ready. It's good.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's going to be...
I guarantee you we'll see play in Modern.
And it's sweet that Standard's going to have a cool card, so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. We're also going to do our top eight, and it's going to be a battle off. We haven't done one of those in a while. Top eight cards that will never be unbanned from the ban list.
Well, eight cards we believe should never be unbanned. Alex and I did our list. We ranked them. The whole deal, just like we used to do. We haven't done this in a long time.
You got to be strong with your convictions, Ben.
Yes, I owe you a lot of dinners.
Yeah, I'm just, oh man, so great. So those who do not know how this works, we battle off. We each list a card, counting down to number one. Each round, we then post on Twitter tomorrow, which will follow our spoiler card when we post it at the same time on Twitter. And you guys get to vote which one of us had a better pick for this subject matter. Generally, I think I am undefeated.
Well, it's usually because it's honorable mention cards, which we're not doing this time.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And the reason honorable mention cards you win is because I pick sweeter cards than you, and you always pick semi-playable cards. And so I get to be like Hunted Horror, and you're like, oh, you know, Infernal Tutor's pretty good. And I'm like, that card sees play in Tier 1 decks.
In Legacy.
No, it sees play in Ad Nauseam decks. People play it. Sure. Yeah. And I'm always like, Tier 1. And I'm always like, you know, this... Yeah, whatever.
All right. So before we get into our spoiler card, a preview card, we're going to actually do... So we have a Facebook group. It is a group that is great for discussions called the Official Masters of Modern Facebook group. We've grown 400 people have joined it a month, which is super exciting. So we're at almost 1,400 now.
It's so crazy. I can't... it's mind-blowing. We had a Masters of Modern page, the official page of the podcast, for 2 years. Got 600 likes.
Right.
We've had a group... for just less than 3 months, and it has more than twice the number.
Yeah.
I don't, like, when I go to look on it,
because
I'm...
groups are fun for people to interact with each other, and pages are useful for advertising.
There's so much content on that page that I can't get through it all. Right. I see bits and pieces, and I post anchor links in there so people can hear what's going on, and I sometimes will, but, like, there's just too much. I can't keep up with it. It's way too fast.
Right. So we're going to – the other cool thing is it gives us a bunch of analytics, and we actually know who the top 10 contributors are to that Facebook group, and we're going to count them down right now. Number 10 is Scott Fridinger.
Scott Fridinger.
And Ben's going to say the names correctly after I say them wrong. Number 9, Ryan Patrick Crimmins.
Ryan Patrick Crimmins.
Number 8, Ryan White. We got double Ryans.
Should I say it in like 90s movie trailer voice?
Yeah, definitely.
Ryan White.
Nicholas Pang at number 7.
Nicholas Pang.
Number 6, Joseph Allen Callender.
And Joseph Allen Callender.
Number 5, Joe Hargreaves.
Joe Hargreaves.
Number 4, Chris Connolly.
A photographer with an eye for beauty.
What?
What? Chris Connolly.
Number 3, Alice Bailey.
Alice Bailey.
Number 2, Marie Ritsu the 4th.
Marie Ritsu the 4th.
And number 1, King of Data, our data analyst for the podcast, Hagen Kirk.
And introducing Hagen Kirk.
All right. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for contributing. Just wanted to give you guys a big shout out. And every month we'll be looking at what the Facebook is doing, and you'll get shout outs.
Yeah. Thanks for all the comments and interaction. It's awesome.
Gauntlet laid down.
And Hagen, thanks so much for all the information. You've been just providing such awesome, awesome, awesome tournament reports for us.
We know stuff now.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's great. It's great information. Yep. So.
All right. So time for a preview card.
I think we just get into the discussion. It's always a little awkward when we're talking about how to do this now on our audio. Like, do we like play some game? It's like a guessing game or something. Like, what do we do?
I think we read this card bottom up. We do all the things without actually saying its name, and we do flavor text first. We do the artist. We then do the converted mana cost.
Then the type. Then the rarity.
The type. Then the rarity.
Then the color.
Then the we did the cost. I think we do cost.
Oh, yeah.
And then we do what it does, and then we say its name.
Cool art. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So. Parentheses. A fool's fire is quickly quenched. Shaper Kumene. Kumene.
Kumene. Shaper Kumene.
Yeah. Oh, I'm never going to read this name. Jurchenko
Alexander.
Solid.
Great last name.
Jurchenko Alexander?
Yeah.
Solid.
And if I said that wrong, I apologize. The art is a sick merfolk with a spear blasting a firebolt with waves going around him. It is an instant. It is a blue instant. One blue is how much it costs. It is a common. It says counter target non-creature spell unless its controller pays two mana and it's spell pierce.
It's just spell pierce. You just did.
It's not just spell pierce. It's excitingly spell pierce.
And new art spell pierce back in standard spell pierce.
This is the first time it's been reprinted since Zendikar, I think.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
It wasn't in any of the. It was in one of the master sets.
Oh, maybe. I mean, like in standard.
In standard. Yeah. Hasn't been in standard for a long time. Yeah, it's a powerful counter spell.
Yeah. You know, the Wizards has talked a lot recently about wanting to bring removal spells back into standard. And that also means that we're getting good answers for modern through that. So that's how Fatal Push came to be. There's another Lightning Strike, or Lightning Strike is back. Spell Pierce is an obvious example. Abrade was another good example of the three damage or destroy target artifact. So Wizards is going to start really focusing. I mean, a lot of this is, thanks to multiple guest Andrew Brown on the podcast. He's one of his big motivations is to bring removal back into Magic.
Awesome. Yeah.
And so Spell Pierce is possibly a version of that. And it's great. I mean, you know, this will definitely see play in Modern. It's a reprint. For those, you know, that it's going to be great.
I'm in. I'm all in on Spell Pierce. I think this is a great card to have back in Standard. It's a very powerful counter spell, but it's not like a pushed card. It's like exactly what Standard should have, which is this card will make an impact. People will play it. Whenever you have a piece of interaction that's this cheap and this good, it definitely makes those sort of like lower CMC tempo decks people like to play a little more doable in Standard. You need to have a few effects like this, a Fatal Push, a Pierce, a couple aggressive threats. So it's always nice to see, and I think Spell Pierce is a welcome sight in Standard.
Yeah, and it's cool that they're reprinting staples like this. It's cool that we're getting it. And in this situation that Wizards was put into, preview season this time around is interesting because they're much more focusing on the powerful commons and uncommons for the first time because of the leaks that happened. And leaks are super problematic, and you know, one of the reasons we didn't really focus on them until we started being able to see them was because it does nothing but harm. You know, now the excitement is a little less. I'm super hyped about this set. I think Dinosaurs vs. Pirates is one of the most genius things I've ever heard of.
You were you were excited from day one. The minute I remember you found out and you like walked into the office just like beaming. You're like Dinosaurs vs. Pirates. Did you hear? The next set is Dinosaurs vs. Pirates.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
R.
You would think so, but they love the sea. That's my one joke.
That's pretty good.
Actually, I think the only other joke is also a pirate joke, but it's not really meant for podcasts.
It's clever.
It's a little more adult themed.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about red shirts. Okay. All right. So that's it for the spoiler card or preview card. So next we're going to get into our countdown. But first, make sure to follow us on Twitter. We are at TheMMCast. I'm at Kess Wiley.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media.
Make sure to check out our sister podcast, The Command Zone. They do awesome Commander content. I was literally on the episode last week. So go watch it, because I'm awesome. It's about Kess, the card that I got to preview on Twitter for Commander 2017. You get to see a little bit of Kess action, both me and the card in Commander instead of Modern, which is really sweet.
It's sick that they printed a card named after you that's so good.
I got my brother into Magic, who is 16, and he's too cool for himself. But he's now playing Magic because there's a card that he also has the last name of.
Yeah, it's true. You guys are lucky in that way.
I'm just getting my entire family to play Magic, finally, after 29 years.
You guys are like Wyatt and Morgan Earp.
I don't know who those are. I like kind of know
the Earps.
I like the
Kurt Russell mustaches. Bill Paxton
mustaches.
Yeah,
do they both have mustaches?
They all have mustaches.
What is this?
Tombstone?
No, I've never seen it.
What
is it? Is it a Western?
Yeah,
it sounds like a Western.
90s movie.
I don't watch Western.
Val Kilmer is one of his sweetest roles.
Name a Western that's like everyone has seen.
That's like one of the more popular like favorites. Everybody
name,
loves
name,
it.
Name another Western everyone has seen.
Unforgiven.
I haven't seen it.
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I haven't seen it. This is a game that's gonna be boring for everyone.
True Grit.
The new one I saw.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Great. High Noon.
Fine. No, I haven't seen it. I've seen Shanghai Noon. Jackie Chan's the best. All right. Make sure to also follow us on Facebook. We already kind of discussed that. Check out the Patreon. We are right now we're using a single mic that we're both talking into. That's why sometimes we're far away, sometimes we're close. But our faces are very close. And we would love new equipment, and so we're using our Patreon money to do that. So we really appreciate anyone who donates there. Makes the sound better.
Yeah, we're gonna go buy like a new thing. We have to do it because we can't do this. Also, check out Alex on my show, Action Movie Anatomy.
Oh yeah, I'm guessing we're doing Star Wars, guys. It's my time. I've been my whole life. Really, the only friendship I've been friends with Ben just to do Star Wars on his show.
Yeah,
he almost didn't invite me.
Yeah, we're covering Star Wars on the show tomorrow. You'll be hearing it today, so you can find that on Popcorn Talk, or you can download the podcast Action Movie Anatomy. We're gonna be doing an hour long discussion of what makes Star Wars awesome, and you know, check out the movie trivia Schmodown and Collider because it's the best thing ever, and I had a match drop today.
The championships.
No, I'm not.
Semifinals.
I won a match, so now I'm going to the semifinals of the 16-person tournament. So we're getting there.
So you're in the semifinals.
Yeah. We haven't filmed our semis match.
Is there a finals after semi?
Yes, and then the winner of the finals plays at the big spectacular, which is like the pay-per-view event at the end of the season for a title shot.
So there's like a Super Bowl at the end of all this.
Yeah, if you win the tournament, which I'm in right now, you get the title shot. You get to play against the seven.
The guy who won last year.
The team. It's a team thing that I'm in. And the guys that are defending are 7-0. They've defended their title 4 times now over the last year. They've had the belts for a year.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's so hard to do.
All right. So everyone go check that out.
It's the best. If you like movie trivia, it's great.
Perfect. Now let's talk about top 8 cards that are never going to be unbanned. So to preface, we both excluded Second Sunrise and Top from this top 8.
Sensei's Divining Top.
Because... they are not necessarily banned due to power level, though you could argue that Top definitely is, but more because if they were legal, they would never be able to have another modern GP, and this is definitely more of a conversation of power level would break if they unbanned this card, not necessarily that this card would make it so, like, the logistics of throwing a tournament, because FNMs would still be totally fine with those two cards. You know, a local, even like GPs, not GP, pre-TQs and those kind of events would probably be pretty fine. It's specifically 9-round and 1-day events can't function with Second Sunrise in the format.
Right.
So those are excluded, but let's get down to this. Do you want to start with your number 8?
Yes, my number 8 coming in hot. At number 8 on my list, I'm opening the list on my phone right now. And number 8 on the list is Birthing Pod.
No.
Yeah, it's right on the edge.
What?
It's because for it, it was legal for such a long time and was so good for so long. It wasn't oppressively good. It was just like boringly good. And it was boringly good in a way that like Splinter Twin was great. And Splinter Twin was thwartable. Like, you could play and kill Splinter Twin. You could, like, not lose to Splinter Twin if you played the right way. Whereas, like, Birthing Pod, you were able to, but they didn't really need Birthing Pod to beat you. It just was, like, the ultimate engine card for them to kill you out of nowhere. And it just means that it has to have gotten more powerful in the last 2 years since getting banned. Like, they've printed 2 years worth of awesome creatures.
Well, but they've also printed 2 years worth of better graveyard hate, better artifact hate, and better removal spells. I mean, for me... Yes, it's definitely very powerful, but I think it's closer to like a Deathrite Shaman power level where it's definitely too good for modern, but it probably is fine if we had to only ban 8 cards out of the format, and especially to some of the other cards that are maybe not being banned. I think it, as far as excitement goes, I think it's a totally fun card. I think as far as its effect on modern is it might be too powerful, but from a entertainment perspective, it's really good. I mean,
yeah.
I would much rather play with Birthing Pod than any Storm card out.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why it's not on my list, I guess. my number 8 is Punishing Fire. So for those who don't know, Punishing Fire is 1 and a red. Do 2 damage to target creature or player, and if a opponent gains 1 life, you may pay 1 red to return it from your graveyard to your hand. This combos specifically with Grove of the Burn Willows, which gives your opponent a land to tap for a red or a green, and is a classic combo that lets you just kind of shotgun things to death. The problem with this card legitimately is it just basically destroys every single like creature deck in the format forever.
I think so, but I also think that graveyard hate has become so much more prominent and there's such better graveyard hate than there used to be that I don't know
but
that this is...
the decks that play this are good against graveyard hate. Like, the decks that play this are like Tron, And maybe, yeah, John didn't Grix's Death Shadow, but the fact that the Tron can just run this instead of like decks that do that, it makes it so like their worst types of matchups are not a problem ever again. And even then, like Burn and other like other decks that would maybe play this, just like it's really good in. Like imagine Burn with this. Like even though they give life to your opponent, it's like really punishing.
Again, no pun intended. No pun intended.
I'm sure it wasn't.
Also, but I also think like when you're saying if you're only gonna ban 8 cards, like maybe I take this. Maybe I just let this be. I'm not sure. Anyway, let's move on to number 7.
I think what it does to get rid of diversity in the format is a bigger detriment than most other cards, because other cards create powerful decks that are probably too good. This makes it so like 12 decks I can think off the top of my head, and that's in tier 2, aren't playable ever again.
Fair enough. My number 7, formerly legal, Treasure Cruise. Treasure Cruise. It's Ancestral Recall. It's in Modern. It fits into decks that are already good, that are already doing crazy powerful things, and makes those decks unstoppably good. It just makes Grixis Death Shadow that much better. It brings back Jeskai Ascendancy. It pushes Storm way over the top. It's just... It makes Blue-Red Delver decks incredible, because they were so good anyway. It's crazy. It's too good.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I think it's too good to be only at number 7.
There's a lot of really good cards here.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you got for number 7?
My number 7 is Glimpse of Nature.
Huh.
I think this just breaks Elves and Affinity both in half in a way that's not good for anyone. I think Glimpse of Nature would do more than even necessarily the artifact lands to make Affinity good, and I think Elves would just become a turn 2 combo deck.
Interesting. Another card I did not include in my 8. Yeah. Our lists are drastically different.
It's exciting.
Yeah, Glimpse of Nature is crazy good.
Yeah.
Crazy good.
I would be very afraid of that card. I mean, it for one mana can be better than Ancestral Recall.
Yeah, like my one thing about this is, and I know the difference between one mana and two mana is everything, but like, Beck is this card. It's just one more mana.
It's one more mana, and in blue, a color that Elves A has no interest in playing, and B there's no real land that makes it easy for them to play.
But
it plays white and black because white. Black comes with that elf land that comes into play untapped, and white comes with the land you can sack to draw a card, so it's just inherently a good
mana basis in Modern. If they needed to have blue, could play it blue easily.
They don't need, like, one mana is the difference between winning with it and just kind of drawing two cards, maybe.
I hear you, and I totally, like, I don't totally disagree with you. I'm just saying, if you're really saying that A Glimpse of Nature was legal, Elves would just become, like, the deck and the only deck.
The other issue is that all the Elves make green mana.
Green mana.
So the point of what you do with Glimpse of Nature is once you have the combo with not Heritage Druid, but the one drop that untaps if you play a creature, and the one drop that you can tap three elves.
Metal Sentinel, Heritage Druid.
You just play this and you can literally draw your whole deck and win.
Right.
Right there.
It's fair.
Especially if you play a second Glimpse of Nature, like two Glimpse of Nature is also insane, and that's never going to happen with Beck.
Yeah, it's fair.
Two blue. Like it's real good.
You could be right. All right. My number 6.
Yep.
Cloud Post.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my number 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I wanted to not put Cloud Post on my list because it feels like such a relic. It feels like such a...
It's never existed in a world where these things were good and Tron is close.
But Tron's not as good at all. And also, like, this is just, like... This, like, the mana advantage this generated was so outrageous.
So it's really, you take Tron and you take... like classic Tron, red green Tron, you take Eldrazi Tron and you just combine it, because Cloud Post lets Cloud Post, that's Tron, not have to spend any cards to work for it. You just draw these lands and you have like Primeval Titan, which is also an insane card, and you just get to turbo out both sides of that deck with zero effort.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, it's already hard to play against Eldrazi Tron decks when you attack their mana base.
Tron has to take 3 to 4 turns tutoring and making sure they draw cards that let them tutor and filtering their mana so that they can get the pieces they need to be able to get Tron in play. This doesn't need that. They didn't need one Cloud Post and then just lands.
The 12 Locusts and an Eldrazi Temple would just, like, it's just not fair even a little bit. It would just not be fun at all. It would become as bad as having Eye of Ugin in the format if you had those legal together.
It's worse, because Eye of Ugin doesn't let you cast Karn and Wormcoil Engine like that. Ugh.
So we're in agreement. The Cloud Post is not good. Next up on my list.
Yeah.
Skullclamp.
Okay.
Skullclamp number 5. Skullclamp's like a weird one, because we talked about Chrome Mox both being the 9th card for us that didn't make the cut. We both talked about it on the Anchor recording before we went live.
Yeah, on a different show.
Yeah.
But everyone realized that that just missed the list.
Yes. Chromoc's like the reason, and the question we asked on that show, you guys can go listen to it on 10 Minutes of Modern. The question asked was, is it more dangerous to unban a card that has a singular powerful effect on one deck or a card that has an effect across the whole format? And Alex said that a single effect in the format is worse. So like Second Sunrise or, you know, unbanning. Well, we'll talk about other cards. Skullclamp is weird because you don't really know what decks would come from Skullclamp. Like, you don't know what totally broken, busted, ridiculous, crazy, sick things would happen because this isn't a card that's really been legal in like this hasn't really been a tournament staple for a very long time.
Exists and shouldn't, but yeah.
Yeah, right. It would be crazy powerful. There's no doubt. The amount of engines would be nuts.
I'm going to save that list specifically for when we get into where I have it placed.
Yeah, I mean, like, basically Skullclamp is not an equipment. Skullclamp is just the super, super cheap, like, Krarklan Ironworks for mana. It's like, for card draw.
Yeah.
It's like the sickest, most, like, unfair card draw engine you can create in your deck. And the kind of decks that would utilize it would just be very solitary, linear, just kill you without interacting decks. It would not be very fun.
Sure. For my number five, I have Jite, which is another equipment. I think this has a similar effect to Punishing Fire, but worse and worse for the format. I think this card becomes just an unstoppable force, partly also because it's colorless. Like, they have very similar effects, but every single deck in the format will play this card that has a creature that can attack with it versus Punishing Fire, which you have to play with Grove of the Burn Willow with, so it limits it to red-green decks. Or at least green and or red decks if they really want to splash it. And really red decks then. This Jite is just really problematic. And it also eats out combo burn decks. Like, burn goes away, scapeshift goes away. Like, it, not only does it eat creature decks, it just kind of kills every deck that wants to put red in you in the red zone.
Yeah, it's funny. This didn't make my list. Jite didn't make... And I thought about
people
it.
People yell at us on Twitter that Jite should be unbanned.
Yeah.
I think they're wrong, but I hear their argument for it.
I think there should be...
Since Abrupt Decay is no longer a defining card in the format.
I think there should be more than 8 cards banned, so it's not that I don't think Chromox or Jite should be... I just... For me...
Totally.
Like, Jite for me is super powerful, but there's a handful of reasons that it's not crazy insane powerful. Okay. The biggest of which is that, like, in the same way that Punishing Fire kills creature decks, Jite kills like burn and creature decks, but also there's so many decks right now that are good that wouldn't be killed by Jite in terms of creature decks, and there's so many decks that are good that wouldn't be killed by Jite's life gain ability, that it starts to feel like 2 mana and 2 mana to equip is like fine and it's somewhat fast, but it's also like pretty thwartable, and you take out their creature and then they're sitting there with an equipment that's not doing anything.
The other problem with that I have it though is that it has the standard Blitter Blossom problem that card used to have, which it was, and really the Jace problem, which was who drew it first. Because in that situation, if you draw Jite before the other person does, they'll never equip a creature with Jite, because you're just always going to have -1/-1 counters to kill their creatures. So it becomes a race that every single deck in the format is just trying to play Jite first. And it gets to the point where you probably need to mulligan down to, like, if you get to 2 lands a creature in Jite, you can mulligan down to 4 to make sure you have it if you're in a mirror match. And, like, that sounds like terrible magic.
Yeah.
The gameplay pattern is almost worse than necessarily the power level.
I could see it. It's just it didn't chart for me as a card that was going to warp the format as much as you said. So that was your number 5.
Yep.
My number 4, Dark Depths. Okay. Didn't make your list?
Didn't make my list. Close, didn't make it.
Yeah, I've played Dark Depths enough. I've played it in Legacy, I've played it in Highlander. We both know exactly how this game goes. It is not fun. It is not even remotely fun. It's a 2020 flying indestructible thing that you have to answer with the right piece of removal at instant speed. And if you don't have the answer and they turn to you with it, the game just ends.
Right.
It's just not remotely fun.
Yeah, no, I think that could easily be replace Jite as my number 5. Like, I think those are comparable.
It's a coin toss. And yeah. And back in the day when it was like such a Legacy staple and people did it all the time, Thespian Stage didn't exist yet. Back then it was just Hexmage. Now you have Hexmage, Thespian Stage, you have the land, and you have plenty of ways in Modern to get the land. And like, it just feels like this deck would just be so oppressive.
Okay. Anything from just general tutor decks to, like, I've done a lot in Commander, the good old Academy Ruins expedition map, and you just like use Expedition Map to get Academy Ruins, and then you just loop until getting the three land pieces you need, and you get it. Like, no, it's definitely way too powerful. Like, once again, this list is limited at 8 and could probably go to 15 of the cards on the ban list probably should stay there, especially since our lists are so different. But yeah, I agree with you.
All right, there you go.
All right. My number 3, or your number 3? Or that was number 4. I've done my number 4.
Yep.
My number 4, Dread Return.
Number 3 for me.
Number 3 for you? Yeah. This card is not, should never, ever. And there are people, Dredge players around the world are crying out in pain that we say this, but this card is bad for Magic.
Grave Troll didn't make my list.
No, Grave Troll didn't even come close to my list.
Grave Troll was like on the fringes of being necessary to ban for me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think I understand why they banned Grave Troll and Dredge was getting to be a problem, but like the Dread Return should never be unbanned. Dread Return will allow Dredge to win on turn 1 in Modern very frequently, more frequently on turn 2, and it would pretty much have the lock on turn 3.
Yeah, it's just not fun.
Like, for those who don't know how it affects Dredge, so right now there's a card called Bridge from Below, which I often pretend is... Bridge.
Ensnaring Bridge.
Ensnaring Bridge. I often say Bridge from Below instead. That's because Dredge was the first card I played in Legacy. And what this card does is if you sacrifice a creature and Bridge from Below is in your graveyard, you get a 2-2 token. So what Dread Return allows you to do is get a bunch of stuff into the graveyard, you get a bunch of Blood Ghast into play using a land drop on turn 2, and or turn 1 if you're using Shenanigans, and turn 1's really hard. Turn 2, and... get this Bloodghast into play. Then you sacrifice in the Dread Return. And by sacrificing them, you put the bridge triggers in play, getting a bunch of 2-2 zombies. And then you reanimate. There's a something elemental from Ravnica block that gives all creatures in play +1/+1 in haste.
Flame can zealot.
Yeah, Flame can zealot. And you just punch him in the face. Generally for 20.
Yeah, it was really good. People did a lot of it. And Dread Return is the linchpin card. It's like the difference between a deck that's really good... versus a deck that has an engine that makes it oppressively unfair. It's like in Storm. Like, Storm's still really good, and there's cards that have been banned out of it. Interestingly enough, we'll see if any of those make our lists here. So next up on the list for me was Dread Return at number 3, which means your number 3.
Treasure Cruise.
Oh.
That card should never be unbanned. It's banned in every other format. It can't be unlimited in Vintage.
Yeah, it was number 7 for me, but...
I mean, I guess it's legal in Commander, but...
So yeah,
I think Ancestral Visions could be legal in Commander, or Ancestral Recall could be legal in Commander, other than the fact that it would be it's already really expensive, and it would just, that's the problem.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
I think
as a Commander, you will like deal with the person drawing 3 extra cards. Like,
it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, it'd be really, every deck would play it, it'd be really good, other than the fact that it would cost $10,000 if that card was legal in Commander. But Treasure Cruise is just, should never be legal. The amount of decks that would be legal, it warped the format, it completely devolved the format into something new. It's problematic.
It also just means people are trying to play decks that are like 40 cards because like they're just milling, they're just self-milling, cantripping, and like filling their graveyard as fast as possible at all times to be able to cast more Treasure Cruises. It's just, decks become extremely homogenous. It's just not a fun, a fun effect. Next up, number 2 for me, Iabugan. Iabugan.
Really? That's so high.
Yeah, it's because...
it's not on my list.
So crazy. The reason Iabugan's on my list is so high is because, like, we saw what happened recently. There haven't printed that many cards since Iabugan, and not only did we see what happened recently, we saw what happened recently at the highest level. Within one season of testing, 6 of the top 8 decks played by the best players in the world were all Iabugan decks playing the same cards, which meant the entire format became Chalice of the Void decks, which was just horrible. And it didn't go away. It lasted like that for months, and nothing could touch it. Nothing would touch it. It would just dominate and change the format to become this nebulous, disgusting version of Magic that no one would want to play.
Sure. I mean, I guess my answer to that is I think Cloud Post would be worse.
You think Cloud Post would be worse than Iabugan?
Yeah.
Iabugan can do the Endless One thing on turn 1. Cloud Post can't. Like,
sure, but Cloud Post can like cast Karn on turn 2 or turn 3.
Turn 3.
And turn 2 Thought Knotseer.
Cloud Post can't turn 2 Thought Knotseer.
Cloud Post. Thought Knotseer, turn 2.
Oh, they just straight up.
Just straight up.
Yeah, but like...
you don't get all the clones, which totally... yes, you're right. It doesn't one aggro start, but then...
but I'll draw...
Thought Knotseer into turn 3 Karn, turn into turn 4, like it's a gross... it's a different start.
Maybe it's worse, yeah.
That would be an interesting matchup to see people play on Modo.
Be crazy.
Maybe us, if we could figure out Modo and getting all those cards. All right, next card, or my number two. Scofflamp.
Very high. I mean, understandably so. Yeah, I couldn't quite figure out where to exactly put it.
Elves and Affinity. It'd be the first two places I would put it. I mean, like, just both of those decks. Imagine, like, tapping an elf for mana, sacking it, getting two more elves, playing those, tap the both for mana, sacking one, getting two more cards. Rinse, repeat. And then, like, Affinity, we all know that that's problematic and how that would work. Sacking Mem Knights all day.
It's seems,
like, really insane.
Yeah, it's
imagine
true.
Imagine how, like, backbreaking Thoughtcast is sometimes when they cast it, and they're getting two cards, and most decks don't play it. And then this is, like, that on speed, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It would speed things up and do, like, a crazy thing to the format.
I think Affinity is already a little too close to too powerful, and I think this would just put it over the top. And, like, that's not to mention Blood Artist decks that just would do dumb things with it, or you know, Malira Pod would play with this, you know, like, there's just like
I'm sure there would be infinite combos built with it. There would have to be a bunch of
dumb things I don't need to happen.
Yeah. I think we have the same number one. I'm pretty sure.
Is it Phyrexian Mana?
Yes.
Is it one blue?
Yes.
But Phyrexian Mana?
Yes.
Is it not Gataxian Probe?
It's not.
Is it Mental Misstep?
Yes, it
is. Yeah, card. I think every time I've ever seen tournament lists of like, this is the top 16 breakdown of this tournament we did where it was no ban Modern. It's just every deck has four Mental Misstep. If people didn't play well, Mental Misstep was legal in Legacy. It literally made the format unbearable.
Yeah, and the problem is it's better and more warping and more disgusting than Force of Will and Daze because you don't have to play blue. Yeah. You just, and it's
every deck just plays four.
And it's just dumb. It's
and
just,
even if you don't play one drops, like one drops are still powerful enough that it's just you play four and but you play your one drops, but you just play Mental Misstep also, and it becomes kind of how I was saying, it's whoever draws you take first, it's whoever draws the most missteps wins.
Yeah, I mean it's the whole I play Delver, you force, and I daze your force, and that's how games start often.
Yeah.
It would just be like it'd be like, I play my Swift Spear, and you Mental Misstep, and I Mental Misstep, and then now we're both down a card. Like, it's just dumb. It would just be stupid. Yeah, it wouldn't be fun at all.
It's really bad for Magic.
And also, like, being able to snapcast your Mental Missteps, ugh.
Yeah.
Just like, that
yeah,
would...
It didn't exist. That no. was the only thing that was possible in any format. It's bad.
It would be horrible.
You don't want Mental Misstep.
They would have to start putting uncounterable one-drops.
Yeah, like, the game would be Misstep everything until someone plays a Tassigar, and then you win.
Right.
Tassigar.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, or Gurmag Angler.
You would like sometimes if they like didn't play one drops, you would like misstep your own spells to fill your graveyard faster to get to like Tassigar or Angler like early in the game.
Yeah, I have no interest in this ever being a thing, and don't Mental Misstep is bad for Magic.
Period.
It's a mistake that they printed it. It's kind of the prime example of why Phyrexian Mana is problematic. Also, the fact that they've had to ban like multiple other Phyrexian Mana spells. Don't do it. kids don't let other kids play Mental Misstep.
Yes, sir.
All right, so that's our top eight cards that will never come off the ban list. Our preview card and our top 10 contributors to the Masters of Modern official Facebook group countdown. Thanks to everyone for contributing. Thanks for everyone listening. Make sure to tune in for next week. We are doing our 3-year anniversary. We don't know what we're going to do yet. Might be a countdown, might be not a countdown. We might sing the whole episode. I don't know if that one will ever happen. I can't sing.
We'd sing in one episode.
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah.
I just said the card names and you guys sang it.
It was cool, yeah.
It was good.
Fun.
It was a good episode. All right, thanks everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.